This is YouthCast from Generation PRX. I'm Emily Corwin. This week, we're featuring a story from Victoria Campos, a student at the University of Texas in Austin. It's called La Oportunidad. Victoria's mom is a registered nurse who raised her in a comfortable home in Texas. And when Victoria was 4 or 5 years old, her mother took her back to her hometown.
She grew up on in a really tiny ranch on a mountain in Mexico, and it was a very important experience in my life to see how she grew up, like without running water and without plumbing and things like and electricity. And to go back to my house in Texas, where you know we have a pool and a really nice house, I've always wanted to know how you get from that point to where we are now.
Victoria didn't really know how her mother got from a rural mountain ranch in Mexico to Texas.
The story is not exactly something you toss out at a dinner party. I learned a lot of things doing this story.
Victoria is a senior studying radio, television, and film at the University of Texas in Austin. For her radio class's final project, she was told she could do any kind of story she wanted. Victoria decided to interview her mom.
I was a lot more nervous than she was. My voice was kind of shaking, and I just wanted her to think of me as doing something professionally.
The recording process took them 4 hours.
After a while, we both kind of forgot that the mic was still there. I think that's what really turned it into such a good interview, is because it just turned into me having a really deep conversation with my mother in our house. It didn't feel like an interview setting at all. It was just a mother talking to her daughter.
Next on YouthCast is Victoria's story about her mom, Maria Isabel. Stay tuned after the story for my interview with Victoria. Here's La Oportunidad.
To achieve the American dream, you have to do it through education. And education is not only your achievement and you're going through it, but it's also having a support system, having somebody believe in you. My mother, she would tell me, you're really smart, do everything you can to keep going to school. And my dad would say, stop telling her those things because you're just going to make things worse because she can't go to school. She's a girl. My birth name was Maria Isabel Contreras Lopez, and I was born in a village in the Sierra Mountains in Mexico in the state of Jalisco. Our village was called El Tulillo, Municipio de Tamazula. And my father was a farmer, and my mother was a housekeeper and housewife. I'm the oldest of 8, and we had 3 girls and 5 boys. My mother was very supportive and encouraging of us to go to school. I think if she had had a chance, she would have gone to school and would have done something with her life besides being a housewife. My father, on the other hand, always thought that females were only meant to be housewives and take care of the house and the children and their husband, and they had no place outside of the home, that they couldn't work and that they couldn't go to school. And the only education he said that I needed was to learn how to read and write and just enough math to go to the market and buy what I needed for the household. And so that created some friction between my mother and my father over the education of their daughters. Father got some pressure from my aunt to send me to school because I was already trying to read on my own. I would take books from other people and pretend that I was reading. When I got to school, they put me in first grade, and I just soaked it up like a sponge. And so within a short time, although I started school really late, I was in fourth grade, and I was really enjoying going to school. We only had free schooling until sixth grade. And my father, of course, was the one that was in charge of our finances at the house, and I knew that there wouldn't be any money for me to go further than sixth grade. I met a couple of Americans that they had moved to Mexico. They were retired military. Their names were Arthur Rhodes and Benedict Rhodes. once a month they had, when they passed out the grades, they had a little breakfast or special lunch for all the people that made straight A's. And they befriended me because they would see me every month and I would sit with them and they kept asking me questions about school and what do you want to do? I never heard anybody say or ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? When I started thinking about it, my biggest goal that I had was I could be a secretary. But they didn't shoot down my ideas. They just kept egging me on. You. They would say things like, oh, well, you could be a bilingual secretary. You can go to school and learn English. And I thought, well, that might be interesting. They were horrified to know that I wasn't going to go to school further than sixth grade. So they said that they wanted to talk to my parents, and they went and presented to my parents the option of letting me go to school. And my mother was just overjoyed at the idea. And my father was not only not in favor, but he was humiliated that anybody would think that he couldn't provide for his family. So it took him a long, long time to calm down about it. And my mother convinced him that this was the best thing and it wouldn't hurt anything, because what jobs could I get anyway? So the roads, in a very kind-hearted way, they took me in as kind of a foster child, and they fostered me in the educational system. They sent me to a private secondary school. They paid for all my supplies, my tuition. I went to their house after school and got my homework done, and they fed me a really good supper. They were moving to the U.S. because their only daughter was going to have a baby, and she lived in New Braunfels. And so when they moved, they had to convince my father anew that I should come. He and my mother had a lot of fights over that, and my mother won out. And so we moved to New Braunfels after much, much heartache from my father and my mother, but they let me come knowing that I would come back every year. I think many times that these people saved my life. After I left, my sister left the following year, but when I left, then she was allowed to go to school also. She was allowed to go beyond the sixth grade. And so then all my brothers, it opened up gates for them too, and most of it was just a mental gate. That nobody had ever allowed them to think that they could be anybody or that to think that they could go to school. So all the boys after that got this little spark in their lives. But they always think, what would it have been like if I had not come to the United States? And what would have our lives been? Anytime that we get together with my family, it is always a topic of conversation, how these two people changed our lives. And they not only changed my life, but they changed the lives of eight other people. My mother and my father and my brothers and sisters' lives were changed dramatically because they intervened. And I think that it's my philosophy in life that I need to pass it on to other people. I need to help out other people. And so I have been involved in so many things in the community to help children, to get them book supplies and to help them in school any way that I can. Because I think it's my duty to pass it on and help somebody else.
That was La Oportunidad, produced by Victoria Campos, telling the story of her mom, Maria Isabel. Tell us what you think of Victoria's story at twitter.com/generationprx and at facebook.com/generationprx. And stay tuned for my interview with Victoria. This is YouthCast.
My name is Victoria Campos, and I'm a senior at the University of Texas at Austin, and I am studying radio, television, and film.
What was your understanding of this story, this part of your mom's life, as you grew up?
Well, growing up with her as my mother, she would, every once in a while, she would tell me really interesting little tidbits about her life. And I actually didn't know that she was a foster child until I was probably about 10 or 11. But I guess I wasn't mature enough to really understand that concept that two people came and took her from Mexico, and that's how she came to live here.
I was hoping that you could just set the scene for me, like where you recorded it and how you were feeling about interviewing your mom, which is a totally different kind of storytelling than going out into the world to interview somebody you've never met.
It's actually a kind of funny. We were at my house, and we live in a tiny town, and there's two huge railroads that go in the middle of the town. And so I was in the living room, and every 16 minutes a train would come, and I would have to stop her, and we'd go back because she would be in the middle of a story, and then she would forget her train of thought because of the train. And it took about four hours to do the whole interview. I was a lot more nervous than she was. My voice was kind of shaking. And I was like, "Don't be nervous, Mom." And she was like, "I'm not nervous at all." And I was like, "I think I'm just really nervous." And I just wanted her to think of me as doing something professionally. But after a while, we both kind of forgot that the mic was still there. And I think that's what really turned it into such a good interview, is because it just turned into me having a really deep conversation with my mother in our house. So everything was just very natural, and it didn't feel like an interview setting at all. It was just a mother talking to her daughter.
This story has an interesting element, which is, you know, these two wealthier American retirees who I imagine could be seen either as very generous or very paternalistic. And I was wondering if that factored into your understanding of the story at all.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, I always thought of it as, they cared so deeply about her well-being, and they really didn't have to, but they went out of their way to make sure that she went on. They saw her potential, and they really wanted to bring her to that full potential. And when I was having critiques with my professor, she mentioned the possibility that someone can take that as some kind of imperialism, like Americans going, and it really blew my mind. Like, I never thought of it that way, but I can see what she's saying. Like, maybe if, trying to see it from my grandfather's point of view, like these two Americans coming to his house and like wanting to take his oldest daughter to America and pay for her education. It's an interesting part.
Is there anything else that you can think of that would be, you know, interesting for people to hear about how you came up with the idea or how it's affected your ideas about what you want to do in the future?
For a very, very long time, I've always thought my mother had such an interesting life story, and it turned out really well. Like she was very happy with it, and my aunts and uncles on her side of the family also just really, really loved it. It also, on the technical side, like editing it together, I realized how much I really enjoy sound editing, and I would go in and at 1 p.m. and get out at 9 p.m., and it never occurred to me that I had spent so much time sitting down and editing and looking at a computer. It really opened my eyes to what I can do with my degree in radio, television, film, and I realized that I was doing something I really loved.
Generation PRX is part of the Public Radio Exchange, which has a lot of cool podcasts these days. Check out How Sound to learn the backstory to great radio, or the amazing 99% Invisible, which is now part of PRX, too. Check it out at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org.